The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 411 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT on Twitter. What a great time of year, regardless if you're a football, basketball, baseball, hockey fan. It's a lot to talk about. March Madness comes to an end tonight in Houston. A little sad for me because I love the tournament. I'm a college hoops junkie, as you know. How many of you have North Carolina and Villanova in your bracket? I have Carolina. I picked the Tar Heels to win it before the tournament. I don't have Nova, but I'll tell you what, Jay Wright's club is playing out of this world. The line told me, and I tweeted this on Saturday, that Villanova was the side to play. But no way did I see a 44-point rout coming against Oklahoma. 95-51? Good grief. I mean, that was a Behind the Woodshed special. Like me playing Double Dribble in Nintendo, where if you were going from right to left, you could make every three in the far corner. Remember that? I'll give you my pick for tonight's championship game in a minute. UNC looking for its sixth national title. Villanova's going for its second. They've met six times in the NCAA tournament. North Carolina's won 5 of 6. So we'll break down tonight's championship game. Of course, my 2016 Major League Baseball preview special is coming up. I'll take you through every division, break it down. I'll give you division winners, wild card teams. We'll go through the National League, American League playoffs, and then finally, a World Series prediction that is sure to fail. Stay tuned for that. And the over-under game. I have a six-pack of picks coming your way. Plus, we'll tell you what a former Chicago Bulls star Scottie Pippen had to say about the Golden State Warriors. It's all on episode number 411 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts here on The Grizz. That is grizzlyproductions.tv. And of course, the show is free in the podcast section of iTunes. Keep those 5-star reviews coming. Always appreciate that. Let's start with the Final Four in Houston. I really hope that we don't get another blowout tonight. I'm a Syracuse grad. I was pulling for the Orange. They're out of it. Had a great run, though. I didn't even think they deserved to be in the tournament. Losing 5 of their last 6. Losing to Pitt 3 times. Losing to St. John's, an 8-win team. RPI over 70. But they had one heck of a run. And one of the best jobs by Jim Boeheim. So they're out of it. I don't have a horse in the race tonight. I just want to see a good game that comes down to the wire. Saturday night was wild. Villanova could not miss. The Cats shot 71%. 71%. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous. In the entire second half, they missed 5 shots. 20 minutes of basketball, they missed 5 shots. It was almost like a replay of the 85 championship game when Villanova shocked Patrick Ewing and the Georgetown Hoyas. That night, the Cats shot 78.6%. That number has never been topped. They nearly matched it against the Sooners. Villanova was up 14 at the half. I expected Oklahoma to make a run. Not only didn't it happen, Nova kept pouring it on. They beat Oklahoma like a government mule. They played pretty close to a perfect game. The 44-point margin is the largest in Final Four history. The 95 points, obviously that stands out, but I love the way Villanova plays defense. And people should not overlook that Oklahoma only had 51. I mean, that is big time D. Buddy Hield, one of the best players in the country, if not the best. He was held to 9 points in this game, 4 of 12 shooting. This is a scrappy, guard-oriented, tough Villanova squad. They are 34-5, and they're getting better and better and better. That's the scary part, you know, because any coach will tell you this time of year is when you want to be playing your best ball, and they are. They're very balanced, multiple scorers, multiple ball handlers. They value each possession, which I love. They have a big man who's playing very well in Daniel Oshefu. He's come a long way in this program. They had 6 double-digit scores against Oklahoma, which goes back to being balanced. Hart had 23, Jenkins 18, Archie Diacono 15. He's like having another coach on the floor. As a team, they were 11 of 18 from three-point land. And let's take a step back. Everybody was talking about how no one was going to be able to shoot in that stadium, right? And both games went over the total. The old opposite theory came through again. I have a lot of respect for this Villanova team and Jay Wright. They blew out Miami, and I liked Miami coming into this tournament. They beat Kansas, who was the number one overall seed. They destroyed Oklahoma. That was a beatdown of epic proportions. They definitely have a shot tonight versus North Carolina. Carolina is only favored by 2 or 3. But I am sticking with the Tar Heels, who I picked before the tournament started. And some of my friends are not going to like that. I live about an hour from Philadelphia, so I know some die-hard Villanova fans. And they're not going to like this. Tar Heels are 33-6. They do a great job in the paint. They can dominate the glass, which is what they did against Syracuse. Bryce Johnson averages 17-10. He's 6'9". Kennedy Meeks is a house. He's 6'9 and 265 pounds. Isaiah Hicks is 6'8". They are super in transition, too. I mean, they can really get up and down the floor. Now, UNC is not a great shooting team. I know they've had some games in this tournament where they've shot it well. If they do that, they're flat out unbeatable. They probably beat the 76ers if they do that. They did not shoot well against Syracuse, still won the game by 17. They were 4 of 17 from three-point land. If they shoot like that again tonight and Nova shoots it well, now, you're not going to shoot 71%. But if Nova shoots well, I could see the Cats winning this game for sure. I mean, it's not like they're a huge underdog in the game. The line started at 2, went up to 3. I've seen it at 2.5. But I'm going to give the edge to North Carolina, the size inside, the way they get points in the paint. And I think Marcus Page is a key for North Carolina. He's a senior guard. Actually was better last year, but he's played better the second half of this season. First half of this season, it's like, what's going on with Marcus Page? And for Villanova, I think Oshefu is a key player. He absolutely must stay out of foul trouble because Villanova just does not have the size that North Carolina has. North Carolina can rotate guys in on that front line. Villanova can't really do that. So they need him to stay out of foul trouble. I give a slight edge to North Carolina. Again, you could definitely make a case for Villanova in this matchup. So send me your picks. I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT on Twitter. Who do you like? Villanova? Nova Nation? Or are you going with the Heels? North Carolina. Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. RPT. Big baseball preview in a second. First, I want to tell you about our great sponsor, and that is iHome. They've been with the show for a long, long time. We really appreciate that. iHome has a new weather-tough line of Bluetooth speakers. Listen to this. They're waterproof, they're rust-proof, and military standard shock-proof. And with the winds and the rain and the crazy weather we're having here in the Northeast, you could use these. They are weather tough. From Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers, iHome combines great value and exceptional quality. That is a winning combination. That's like having a great 7-footer in the lane and terrific three-point shooters all around him. A winning combination. iHome also offers a full line of quality headphones and earbuds. If you know someone who loves to go to the gym, they're on the treadmill, you know someone who likes to travel a lot, if they're looking for new earbuds, this is a great place to go. iHomeAudio.com is the website. Look at all their great products. They make great gifts. You can check out their apps, their accessory. iHome is the number one brand when it comes to digital speakers. I should mention that as well. iHomeAudio.com, the sound quality cannot be beat. Moving on here on episode 411 of the Sports Report podcast. Great to have you aboard. We will get right into it. We'll start in the National League and the NL East. I think this is a two-team race between the Mets and the Nationals. I'm very high on New York. The two magic words when it comes to baseball are pitching wins, and the Mets are absolutely loaded. Zach Wheeler's coming off Tommy John surgery, but they still have Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Mats. They all could be number ones on some teams. The Mets rotation is sick. The infield's different this year. Neil Walker and Asdrubal Cabrera up the middle. Cespedes might move around to center field. They needed to keep him for his pop. He ends up with a three-year deal. I thought that was a smart decision by the Mets. They're the favorite to me in this division. I think they're one of the best clubs in all baseball. They lost to Kansas City in the World Series in five games last season, but New York had the lead in all four of the games that the Royals won. They just couldn't seal the deal. With that pitching staff, the Mets aren't going anywhere. They are a legit contender and should be for several years. Bovada has the Mets and Nationals with the same over-under win total at 89.5, and I'll give you my six-pack of picks coming up. Nothing better than a nice six-pack, right? You know, I've been picking the Nationals to do big things in recent years, and they have let me down, especially last year. I had them in the World Series. They go 83-79, did not even get in the playoffs. They got Matt Williams fired 1 year after he was the National League Manager of the Year. Dusty Baker takes over as skipper. He's good with the players. They added Daniel Murphy at second base. He's got some pop. Ben Revere can run. He's in the outfield. Washington needs Jason Wirth and Ryan Zimmerman to bounce back. And Steven Strasburg has to pitch like a number one, not a two or a three. He definitely has the stuff to do it. Max Scherzer is a stud. I think this is a really good team. Miami's going to be okay. Donnie Baseball, Don Mattingly comes over from L.A. where he won three straight division titles. Giancarlo Stanton, Jose Fernandez give them two young stars. D. Gordon hit .333 last year. Christian Yelich has potential. They brought in a lefty, Wei-Yin Chen from Baltimore. The bullpen's a big question mark with the Marlins, but they're not going to be terrible. Now, speaking of terrible, Phillies, Braves. Ouch. They have two of the lowest over-under totals in the game. They're both around 66, 66.5. The Phillies were 63-99 last year, the worst record in baseball. I think they're going to be a little bit better. They added Jeremy Hellickson and Charlie Morton to the rotation, so at least you have guys with major league experience. They were throwing out guys last year who were triple-A pitchers, and they were just getting rocked. Second, third inning, they're already down 2, 3, 4 runs. I'm going to go 70-92 this year with the Philadelphia Phillies. To the NL Central, you have three tough teams in this division. Chicago, Pittsburgh, St. Louis. They all won between 97 and 100 games last year. The Cubs are my choice, and Bovada has their over-under at 92.5, which is the highest total in all of baseball. They went out, they got Jason Hayward, who the sabermetric geeks love. If you're into analytics, they love this guy. A lot of it has to do with he plays defense really well. Ben Zobrist is Mr. Utility. John Lackey had the best ERA of his career last year with St. Louis, 2.77, and he threw 218 innings. We already knew the Cubs had a ton of young talent. Chris Bryant, Kyle Schwarber, Anthony Rizzo, Addison Russell. Plus, Jake Arrieta won the Cy Young. John Lester's a solid lefty. Oh, And by the way, Chicago has one of the best managers in the game in Joe Maddon. Yes, they strike out way too much. They had the third most strikeouts in Major League Baseball history last year. But there is a lot to like with the Chicago Cubs. Adam Wainwright only pitched 28 innings last year, and St. Louis still had the best ERA in all of baseball and won 100 games. Figure that out. Their farm system is phenomenal. I mean, they just keep bringing young guys up, and they produce right away. They've done it for years. Mike Leake isn't an ace or a number two, but he eats innings. He'll help. Waka, Garcia, Martinez, they're all capable starters. They're not going to throw any stiffs out there. Johnny Peralta is out a few months with thumb injury, but you still have Holiday and Carpenter and Molina in that lineup, and I never count out St. Louis. Pittsburgh was not able to bring in a top-tier pitcher to go along with Gerrit Cole and Francisco Liriano, the southpaw. So I wonder about 3-5 in the rotation, although you know I'm pulling for Ryan Vogelsong, the pride of Kutztown University here in Berks County, Pennsylvania. I know his college coach really, really well. Good guy, great story. So I hope Vogelsong does well in Pittsburgh. I really like the Pirates outfield. McCutchen, he's an MVP candidate. Marte, Polanco. They acquired David Fries, a veteran. He's playing a lot of big games. I think the Buccos are good, not great. Cincinnati and Milwaukee could have very, very long seasons in the Central. To the West, usually we focus on the Dodgers and Giants. I think the Diamondbacks deserve to be mentioned too this year. More on Arizona in a second. The Giants are my selection in the West because they added Johnny Cueto and Jeff Samardzija to his staff that still has one of the premier starters in the game in Madison Bumgarner. Jake Peavy's your number four starter. His ERA was 3.5 last year. And if you get anything out of Matt Cain, I mean, at one point he was a stud. He's had a lot of injuries, but he's your number five starter right now, Matt Cain. Denard Span gives them a true leadoff hitter. If he stays healthy, I think he can be productive. They should be very good defensively with Belt and Panic and Crawford and Duffy in the infield. San Francisco has Posey and Pence in the middle of the order. Their over-under is 89.5. It's up there with the Mets. And it is an even year. So you have to remember, San Francisco won it all in 2010, 2012, and 2014. I don't know what it is about these even years, but that's when they win the World Series. Now, I've been on the Dodgers bandwagon for a while because of the pitching, but now Greinke's gone. They've been hit hard by the injury bug. Brett Anderson, Hyunjin Ryu, Brandon McCarthy, they are all hurt. Clayton Kershaw is going to be dominant as usual. He's one of the best of all time. I like the addition of lefty Scott Kazmir, but then you have some unknowns. Plus, does LA have enough in the bullpen after Kenley Jansen? I believe the Dodgers will score runs, but I don't like teams with injury issues before the season even starts, and they do. The Diamondbacks made a lot of noise this offseason. They gave Greinke a six-year deal worth $206 million. They traded a former number one overall pick to Atlanta for Shelby Miller. Those are two big moves. Hopefully for them, Patrick Corbin returns to his 2013 form before he had Tommy John surgery. Then you're looking at a nice 1-2-3 with Greinke, Miller, and Corbin. Paul Goldschmidt is an MVP caliber player. AJ Pollock, I think, is underrated nationally out in center field. Wellington Castillo has some pop behind the plate. Arizona is a team to keep an eye on. San Diego made a splash last offseason, and it was an utter failure. Bud Black got the axe. They only won 74 games after bringing in Kemp and Myers and Upton. Remember all the moves they made? Alexei Ramirez will be the new shortstop. Fernando Rodney is the new closer. And that guy's always an adventure. Well, look out there. The rotation's solid. James Shields, Tyson Ross, Andrew Kashner. I just don't trust the Padres after last year. Cargo and Nolan Arenado, fun to watch in Colorado, but the Rockies are going to struggle. They don't have enough in this division. And that does it for the National League. I think there are 7 or 8 possible playoff teams. The problem is there are only 5 spots. This is the 2016 MLB Preview Special here on episode number 411 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv and in the podcast section of iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter and comment on anything you hear, agree, disagree. We appreciate all the feedback on Twitter at the Sports RPT. All right, let me get to the American League. We will start in the East. Man, this is not an easy division to forecast. I had a tough time with this. Some people really like Boston. Some don't even think that that's a 500 club. Some people really like Baltimore. Others have the Orioles in last place, like Sports Illustrated, which has Baltimore going 69-93. SI, for what it's worth, predicts the Astros will beat the Cubs in this year's World Series. Now, over the last 20 years, SI has correctly predicted the World Series champ. Want to take a guess? How many times 20 years has SI got it right? Once. One time in 20 years. I'm taking Toronto to win this division again. These guys can hit. They nearly scored 900 runs last season. They won 93 games. The lineup is stacked. I mean, you never get a break if you're a pitcher. Donaldson was the MVP. Now, Bautista and Encarnacion are playing for new contracts. I always factor that into the equation. So, good luck facing Toronto. I don't love their rotation. Scouts rave about Marcus Stroman, a little guy, and he looked good on opening day against Tampa Bay. Aaron Sanchez has been very highly touted for years now. Drew Storen comes over from Washington. The Nationals decide to stick with Papelbon as their closer. Storen will not close for the Jays. Roberto Osuna will do that. Bovada has Toronto's over-under at 87.5, which is tied with Houston for the top spot in the American League. Vegas likes Boston, too. The Sox total is 86.5. That seems high to me. This was a last-place team in 2012, 2014, and last year when they only won 78 games. Now, I can't argue with David Price. However, do you trust the rest of that staff? Buchholz, Porcello, Kelly. Craig Kimbrell is the new closer for what should be a very, very good bullpen. And there's young talent in Boston with Betts and Bogarts mixed with veterans like Pedroia and Ortiz. This is his swan song. Hanley Ramirez. The Red Sox could go either way this year, sink or swim. I'm not sure. It's going to depend on their number two through number five starters because Price cannot do it all. The Yankees are another team with ifs. Health is a major, major concern in the Bronx. A-Rod, Teixeira, Beltran, these are not spring chickens anymore. I can argue that all five starting pitchers are question marks because of health. Plus, Aroldis Chapman suspended for a month. Andrew Miller's got this small fracture just above his right wrist. It's his non-throwing hand. He says he's okay. He's not going to miss any time. I am a huge Yankees fan, truth be told. But it is tough to have a lot of faith in an older team like this. Although, they did win 87 games last year. And they did make the playoffs. And if Tanaka's healthy, he's good. Severino's a young pitcher in their rotation. He can be good. I worry about health. But again, last year they won close to 90 games and did get into playoffs. The Orioles are a beer league softball team. Just wheel the keg right down to the dugout. No shortage in power here. In fact, they added to their MO with Mark Trumbo and Pedro Alvarez. Baltimore's a nice bullpen, but the starters don't wow you. Yovani Gallardo was a quality pickup. His ERA was on 3.5 the last two seasons. His strikeouts are way down, though. Chris Tillman is capable of a bounce-back year. His ERA went from 3.34 to 4.99. Ubaldo Jimenez was much better in Cleveland in 2013 than he's been the last 2 years in Baltimore. Now, I have a lot of respect for Buck Showalter, one of the best in the business, so I think the Orioles would be better than most of the media bobbleheads think. Their over-under is only 79.5. The Rays should have good starting pitching. I'm a big Chris Archer fan, but they don't hit enough to contend in this division, and I think the bullpen could be shaky. Last 2 years, Tampa Bay has been last and second to last in runs scored in the American League. In the Central, the Royals are a no-brainer in this division, in my opinion. Kansas City won its first World Series since 1985 last season. This club plays great defense. They make contact. They have speed. The bullpen is close to untouchable. They didn't change the lineup. They gave Alex Gordon a 4-year, $72 million deal. Kane, Hosmer, Moustakas, Perez, Escobar. It's the same cast of characters in Kansas City. Ian Kennedy joins the staff. He got 5 years, $70 million. Good, not great. They have Ventura and Volquez at the top of the rotation. There's no ace on the staff, but if you get six innings out of a starter, it's pretty much over because of that bullpen. The Twins went from 70 wins to 83. They finished second in the Central last season. I think they fall back under the 500 mark. Speaking of falling, Detroit fell off the map. I had the Tigers in the World Series, and they won 74 games. They finished in dead last in this division. Their bullpen has been a dumpster fire, so they went out. They got K-Rod, Justin Wilson, Mark Lowe. Now, K-Rod's not a fireballer anymore. They also brought in Jordan Zimmerman and Mike Pelfrey, plus Justin Upton. And not having Miguel Cabrera for full season was a killer last year. I think Detroit's much improved. Sanchez and Verlander need to perform. Cleveland has some power arms. Kluber, Carrasco, Salazar. The issue is offense. Last year, they were 11th in runs in the American League. And Michael Brantley is out after having shoulder surgery. That is a huge loss. The Indians are okay. I think they're probably around 500, maybe a little bit better. White Sox offseason has been a complete mess with the Adam LaRoche situation. And Chris Sale, you know, calling out Kenny Williams. You wonder, is Sale just wasting away in this franchise? Because the guy is filthy. Chicago made several changes. Todd Frazier, Brett Lawrie, Austin Jackson, Alex Avila, Jimmy Rollins, Matt Latos. They are all White Sox now. I don't think it's enough. To the AL West, two-team race between the Astros and Rangers. Texas went from 67 wins all the way up to 88. Houston went from 70 to 86. It's crazy how far the Astros have come in a short period of time. I mean, they used to be a laughing stock. Because Yu Darvish is not expected back until mid-May or early June, I'm going to go with Houston here. The top three in the order is sick. Jose Altuve, George Springer, Carlos Correa. The Astros hit a ton. They also whiff a lot. And it's kind of a feast or famine type of team. They led the league in strikeouts. They need more production from the bottom of the order. Dallas Keuchel won the Cy Young. Colin McHugh won 19 games. They added Doug Fister, who I've always thought was underrated. And in the bullpen, the hard-throwing Ken Giles, who was brought in from Philadelphia. He's part of the pen now with Luke Gregerson. I think Houston is ready to go here. Cole Hamels took a lot to get from the Philadelphia Phillies, but Texas needed frontline pitching. Hamels made a big-time difference down the stretch. I wonder about their relievers. Sean Tolleson has only closed for one season. Ian Desmond, now in the outfield for Texas. You remember him as a shortstop with Washington. Their lineup should score runs with Fielder and Beltre and Chu. The question is, can the Rangers hang around until Darvish returns? Will they get good enough starting pitching until he's back? I was very high on Seattle last year. I had them as a playoff team. They underachieved, winning just 76 games, so it's tough for me to trust them now. Although, this is a dangerous team. With Cano and Cruz and Lind and Seager, Aoki is in the leadoff spot now, plus that 1-2 punch of King Felix and Iwakuma. Lefty Wade Miley is their new number three starter. I expect Seattle to improve. I'm just a little nervous about getting burned again. The Angels are very good defensively. You have Trout, you have Pujols. Simmons is now at short with Escobar at third. Everyone, including the Vegas wise guys, seems to be down on the Angels. Their over-under is only 81.5. The rotation is not great. Don't think they're on par with Houston and Texas. Oakland only won 68 games last year, the fewest in the American League. They're going to have a rough go of it again this year. Now, drumroll provided by you. It is prediction time. Paul's perfect picks for the 2016 Major League Baseball season. My division winners in the National League, Mets, Cubs, Giants. Wild cards in the National League, this was tough. It took me a while to get this down to two. I went with the Nationals and the Cardinals. So I am leaving out the Dodgers, the Pirates, and the Diamondbacks. Like I said, I think you have eight teams for five spots in the National League. The Dodgers, all those injuries, that's a concern. NLCS, Cubs over the Giants. I think you can make a strong case for the Mets, too. If, you know, you hit me up on Twitter and say, you know, what are you doing, Paul? How do you not have the Mets, at least in the NLCS? Hey, it's a fair take. Again, I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Division winners in the AL, Blue Jays, Royals, Astros. Wild cards in the American League, Rangers. And then I had a big fat question mark. I'm going to roll the dice here, and I'll say the Yankees stay healthy, and I will go with the Yankees. Now, you could throw Cleveland in here. You could throw Detroit in here. You could throw the Mariners in there. I'm just going to go with the Yankees here. In the American League Championship Series, I will take the Royals over the Blue Jays. World Series, I have the Cubs and I have the Royals. Cubs have not won a World Series since 1908. I say they finally get it done. A World Series championship in the Windy City for those lovable Cubs, adding Lackey and Hayward and Zobrist to a 97-win team. That is good enough for me. Plus, Joe Maddon, a great manager. So, again, my World Series prediction, Cubs beat the Royals. What do you think? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. My NL playoff teams again, Mets, Cubs, Giants, Nationals, Cards. In the American League, I have Blue Jays, Royals, Astros, and then my wild cards are the Rangers and the Yankees. Again, World Series, Cubs beat the Royals. What do you think? On Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Moving right along, let's play the over-under game here. I have a six-pack of picks for you. I have four overs and a couple unders. The unders, Dodgers, I've already talked about them. I don't like all the injuries that they have. And the Red Sox, I can't trust the rotation after David Price. My overs in the NL, I'm going with the Diamondbacks. Getting Greinke is big. If Corbin's healthy, this is a pretty good team. I'm going to go over with the Royals, which is at 85.5. The Diamondbacks, by the way, was 82.5. I'm going to go over there. Over with the Royals. I don't know what it is. Sabermetrics people just don't like the Royals. Remember last year, I couldn't believe I was shocked that their total was 81. And that was my best bet of the year. I said, go over there. I didn't think they'd win the whole thing, but they did. So I'm going to go over with the Royals at 85.5. Over with the Tigers at 81.5. I think last year was an aberration for Detroit. They're better than that. And I will go over with the Orioles at 79.5. Got respect for Buck Showalter. Team can hit a ton. A lot of home runs. I think their bullpen's pretty good, too. It's just going to come down to that starting pitching. So that's the over-under game. Again, my two unders, Dodgers and Red Sox. And my overs are the Diamondbacks, Royals, Tigers, and the O's. ESPN's preseason power rankings, by the way, their top five, Cubs number one, Royals two, Giants three, Mets four, and the Astros number five. 6 through 10, they have the Blue Jays, Cardinals at number seven, Red Sox number eight. Maybe I'm wrong about them. Rangers at nine, and the Dodgers at number 10. This is episode 411. We'll wrap up with Scottie Pippen. You remember those great Bulls teams that he was part of? You know, Michael Jordan. They won six titles, three in a row from 96 to 98. Just great teams. Really, really good teams. Well, the Warriors are closing in on the Bulls' record for most victories in an NBA single season. The Bulls set it 95-96. The Warriors right now are at 69-8. That is their record, 69-8. They beat Portland Sunday night, 136-111. But Hall of Famer Scottie Pippen does not think the Golden State would match up well with his Chicago squad. He said the 96 Bulls would sweep the Warriors. And I quote, "Bulls in four." Now, I saw this interview, and it wasn't like Pippen was loud or yelling or screaming or anything like that. I mean, he was kind of like laughing a little bit, had a smile on his face. He was very relaxed. He was very calm. There wasn't any hatred or animosity when he was talking. He said that he thinks his size and length would bother Steph Curry a little bit. And he went a step further, said he could hold Curry to fewer than 20 points. Good luck with that. The Warriors need to go 4-1 in their last five games to finish the season at 73-9. That would be a record. Again, right now, they are at 69-8. So they have five games left. They have to go 4-1. They have a couple games with the Spurs left, too. Steve Kerr, Golden State's coach and a former Bull, he really didn't want to take a side, and I can't blame him. But he did say, quote, "My guess is the Bulls would be called for a million hand check fouls, and we would be called for a million illegal defenses, so the game would take like 6 hours because the refs would be calling stuff all game. Now, they would not call traveling in either era." That's a funny little zinger there at the officials at the end from Steve Kerr. My take is, listen, pro athletes have egos. A lot of them got to where they got because they are extremely confident in their ability. So am I surprised that Scottie Pippen said his team would beat the Warriors? Not at all. Again, pro athletes, ultra competitive, super confident in their own abilities. You knew it was coming. I don't know that I would go sweep, though. I would take the Jordan Bulls over the Warriors with Curry and Thompson and Green, this current collection. I would say in a seven-game series, the 96 Bulls would win, but there's no way I can say a sweep. In fact, I don't think in any of their six final series that they won, I don't think they swept any of those series. So I'm not going to go sweep, but I would take the Bulls from 95-96 over the Warriors. And Pippen was a great player. You know, I think he gets overlooked because he played with Jordan, the best of all time. Pippen's a top 50 player and one of the greatest defenders I've ever seen. With the wingspan, the length he had, the quickness, the leaping ability. I mean, he could guard multiple positions. He was a phenomenal defensive player. And they had really good role players, too. So I would take the Bulls over the Warriors, but not in a sweep. What do you think? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Maybe like six games, something like that. Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Do you go with the current Warriors or the 96 Chicago Bulls? And you can also weigh in on the NCAA championship game tonight. Villanova, North Carolina, who are you taking? And who do you like in the upcoming Major League Baseball season to win it all? Who's your World Series champ? I'm going with those Chicago Cubs. It's about time. Haven't won it since 1908. Jeez, it's time to get it done. Have a parade there in Chicago. Thanks so much for tuning in. Spread the word about the show. We're with you every Monday on The Grizz. That's grizzlyproductions.tv. And you can listen to old shows on iTunes in the podcast section there. They're all archived for you there. New shows every Monday. Keep the five-star reviews coming. We always appreciate that. Thanks so much. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy the games. Baseball is back. This has been episode number 411 of the Sports Report Podcast. I'm Paul Roberts on grizzlyproductions.tv and iTunes.